The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. The gatekeeper opens the gate for them, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson from John chapter 10 this morning makes a whole lot more sense if we go back to chapter 9. As it is a continuation of what Jesus is trying to say. So that's what we're going to do. And you may recall the story from chapter 9 as I give us a rundown of it. Jesus and his disciples encounter a man blind from birth, begging on the street in Jerusalem. And the disciples ask Jesus, "Whose sins have caused this man's blindness, his or his parents?" Jesus answers them, by saying that sin is not the cause of the man's blindness, and that God will be glorified through him. Jesus then spits in the dirt, makes a paste of mud, spreads it over the man's eyes, and sends him to the water to wash. The blind man does just as Jesus tells him, and after washing, his eyes are opened, and he can see. He then returns home with sight. Then the interrogation of the man begins. First, his neighbors aren't sure they know him anymore. Some say yes, he is the blind man they know, the one who begs every day. And some say no, he's not. In their confusion about his identity and his story of getting sight, they take him to the Pharisees for help. Surely they'll be able to get this figured out. The Pharisees, however, proceed to question him as to how he gained his sight, and they ask him to tell the story several times, and they aren't satisfied. They even go to his parents for answers, and his parents are reluctant to stand by him. They tell the Pharisees he's of age, he can speak for himself. The Pharisees are getting more agitated with each round of questioning, and their agitation centers on Jesus. In their eyes, Jesus' healing of this blind man on the Sabbath not only makes his actions sinful, it makes him a sinner along with the blind man. Well, the newly sighted man can see the Pharisees' frustration, and their defensive line of questioning empowers him to challenge, who is really from God here? This man knows that Jesus opened his eyes, giving him sight, no matter what anyone says about him or Jesus or how it happened. The Pharisees throw him out of the temple. His challenges to their authority and his steadfastness to his story are more than they can take. Jesus hears of the man's plight and he seeks him out. When he finds him, Jesus tells him, "I am the Son of God. Do you believe?" The man believes and worships him. And in the final verses of the chapter, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, who are listening, and it would seem trying to understand what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said, "Surely, we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." So the overall narrative of chapter 9 focuses on sight. And it's interesting to me to consider how at the beginning of chapter 9, the blind man only has sounds and voices around him. Unlike the people of Jerusalem and the Pharisees of the temple, he can't see Jesus. As Jesus and the disciples get close to him and begin to talk, did he even know that it was Jesus talking? Was he listening closely, wondering how Jesus would answer the questions about his or his parents' sin? When Jesus says that sin did not cause his blindness, and God is to be glorified through it, the blind man must have realized this voice, this man speaking, is different from the usual voices in his life. This voice is offering something very different as well. Perhaps he hears it with hope instead of the burden of sin that he lives with. It's no wonder that he did not even question Jesus when he told him to go wash the mud from his eyes. It is the voice of Jesus he listens to, follows, and that leads him to healing. He is given his sight, his own voice to profess his faith, and a new life with Jesus. Voices carry power and influence in our world. We are surrounded by them. And some voices are of such beauty. Music, poetry, the sound of children laughing. They touch us deeply. They're meaningful. And then there are the voices of knowledge. Teachers. Philosophers. The Bible. Then there are the voices that attempt to tell us how to live. Buy this, dress this way, eat this way, look this way. There's lots of those. And then there are voices of power, like what the blind man heard from the Pharisees, a voice that was able to banish him from the temple. And thanks to technology and availability, at any moment of the day, we can get them all. Thousands of voices surround us, all vying to be heard, offering us their thoughts and opinions. So many different voices for us to choose from, and at times maybe too many. So now we can enter into our gospel lesson this morning in chapter 10. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, trying to help them understand. And he's also teaching about the power of the voice. And he uses the metaphor of the relationship between shepherd and sheep to express it. It is the shepherd's voice that the sheep listen to and respond to. The sheep learn his voice from their daily interaction by how he speaks to them while he brings them back and forth through the gate. The shepherd knows his sheep by name. And they know what his voice means for them. They'll follow his voice through the gate, to the pastures, to eat, drink, and then home again. The sheep don't respond to other voices because they don't recognize them as the one who cares for them and the one who loves them. The beauty of this gospel is in the simplicity of the lesson. Amidst all the voices of our world, there is only one that gives us life. It is the voice of Jesus. It is his voice that the blind man listens to for a new life with sight. It is his voice that Mary Magdalene recognizes when he calls her by name at the empty tomb after his resurrection. And it is his voice that we hear when we greet each other with peace be with you, as he greeted the disciples. As we learn and grow closer and closer to Jesus through scripture, prayer, and worship, it will be his voice we hear guiding us through all the voices that come at us. Voices are made to be heard, and we may enjoy them or not. Every voice of this world has some worth. But we won't recognize them as the voice of our shepherd, as the one who gives us eternal life, Jesus Christ. Amen.